title of my message this morning is that you should open your ears before you open your mouth. Open your ears well before you open that mouth. Now, it was Sherlock Holmes that once told Watson, "You see, Watson, but you do not observe." I think it's possible to hear without listening, and it's possible to speak without saying anything. Now, sadly, most of us are not naturally quick to listen or slow to speak, but it's important for us to learn to open our ears before we open our mouths. Wisdom is gained from man and from God when we listen more and talk less. You know, they say speech is silver and silence, it's golden, all right? Big talkers are rarely good listeners, and angry talkers, man, they may not even hear a thing. Therefore, we should be deliberate, not rash, in our speech. You know, there are things that we all regret saying in the heat of the moment. They say that words are like toothpaste. Once it goes out, it doesn't go back in, and that's true. But there's also phrases that we've said that we have quickly tried to backpedal on, whether it's, "Oh, there's no trouble at all. Yeah, go ahead." Or, "We've got plenty of room. Come on in. You can call me anytime." And then they do, and you're like, "Oh, no, what did I say? Is there anything that I could do for you?" Of course, when a wife speaks up and volunteers their husband, "Oh, my husband's a doctor, my husband's a lawyer, my husband's a dentist, my husband's a mechanic," not knowing they just threw their husband under the bus, "I'll try anything once." Yeah, you'll regret that. "Of course, bring the kids, no big deal, bring them over." Uh-oh. "Well, why don't you stay for dinner? Worst comes to worst, you can just use mine." We've said things we regret. It's important that we're slow to speak, but quick to listen. That's what it says there in James chapter 1. Thank you, Ricky, for reading it. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man and woman be swift to hear and very slow to speak." Now, I think most people have that backward, by the way. They're quick to speak and slow to listen. At least that's my problem. And so I'm working on it. Verse 19, we're going to look at it, each word that he says. He opens up by so then, or maybe in your translation it says therefore. And if you ever come across a so then or a therefore, you have to pause and say, why is therefore therefore? What's it there? What's he saying? What point is he making? And he's saying, in light of being born again, in light of being a Christian, in light of being a follower of Christ, in light of knowing Jesus and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, because of that, that's why you need to pay attention, because you are a reflection of Jesus Christ. The things that come out of your mouth, they're meant to reflect God. The things that you do with your hands are meant to reflect God. And so we need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, because that is a really great way for us to reflect God. So he says, "So then, my beloved brethren," which is just a reminder that he's establishing the relationship that me and you have with each other and who James was writing to. He's writing to other Christians. So he's writing in the family and he's saying, "Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen up. You need to do this personally, relationally, by yourself and with each other. We have to be aware of our relationship in Christ that we have with each other, even on this phone call, where you, if you are a blood-bought, spirit-filled follower of Christ, then the person that you probably are listening to, me and others on the line, they're the same, okay? They love the Lord as well. And so because we're in the same family, we need to be very mindful of how we talk to each other and how we listen to each other. You see, value demands an appropriate respect. Because of who you are, not just a son or a daughter of the Lord made in his image, but because we're in the same family, therefore I should give you a little bit more respect. And that's the point James is making. It's interesting to me, by the way, that different people of different caliber, they get different levels of respect. You know, just recently I went to the Air Force Base out here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was trying to get a new base pass because my pass had expired. And so I needed to you know, go to the visitor center and let them know, hey, I'm a pastor. I do a lot of ministry on base. Can you give me another base pass? And so I walk in all by myself. I show them my driver's license. I tell them who I am. And the guy behind the counter, he was just straight up rude, right? He didn't care about me because obviously I'm not in the military. And so I didn't have any things on my shoulders. I didn't have stars on my shoulders or any type of, you know, someone to vouch for me. And so I walk in and he's like, what do you think you can do? You just want to just get on base, huh? You want to do ministry on base? I'm like, yeah, I do a lot of ministry, brother. You know, I counsel people and I do a lot of, you know, pre-suicide counseling and holding marriages together. Like I'm serving our people who serve our country. And he's like, no, I'm not going to be able to help you. And I'm like, bro, I do this all the time. Like, what? Why are you having such an issue? And so he was super smart attitude, pushback, refused to help me. So then I went to my buddy, okay, who is the, well, he's the command chief of the 42nd Air Base. His name was Lee Hoover at the time. So he's over everybody. And so I go, hey, Lee, dude, the guy in the visitor center was giving me a bunch of junk. Can you go with me? And he's like, sure, let's go in together. And so we go walking in together. So here I am, okay, just me and my little civilian self walking with the head honcho. And we walk up and immediately the guy like, you know, hey, how's it going, sir? Good to see you. And so Lee's like, hey, I heard that pastor was having a hard time, you know, getting on base, getting his base pass. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm super sorry about that, sir. No problem at all. We're going to make sure to get this pushed through. And, oh, do you want to get a year pass? Can we do anything else for you? Can I wash your car? Can I walk your dog? Immediately, the respect was given to, well, the chief because of his rank. And so, therefore, they talked to him different. You know, they treated him differently than they treated me. And I really think this, that the value of the person in front of us should have an impact on how we treat them, how we listen to them, how we speak to them. And so this is what James is saying. Because we are in the family of God, therefore, I should give you adequate respect. And that's just a good exhortation for any of us on the phone, right? Man, we are going to spend the rest of eternity with each other, okay? I mean, you're not going to get away from me, okay? I know you probably are like, oh man, Jason's Bible study again. Probably sick of hearing it, but you're not going to get away from me, all right? We're going to spend eternity together. Maybe I won't be teaching there, but I'm going to be with you there. And so therefore, I should respect you now because of, well, our time together then. You know, if Jesus says, hey, that we should love each other, that's what we should simply do. And that's James's point. So now James gets into some practical application about what we should do. He says, point number one today is this, open your ears. Open your ears. So he says in verse 19, let every man be swift to hear. Now, lately I've been teaching my sons, I've got three of them, 14, 7, and 2. And I've been teaching my 14 and 7-year-old to be quiet and listen, especially when we're hunting squirrels, okay? Because we live in the city and we've got a squirrel problem. I got these massive pecan trees. I've told you all about them and they're delicious, all right? So we've got a 100-year-old pecan tree in the backyard. And I'm not the only one that likes pecans. You know who else does? The stinking squirrels. And they go up there and they just wreck everything. They eat all the pecans. They ruin the tree. And so, well, we shoot them, all right? I'm confessing to you. We got a pellet gun, and I'm shooting squirrels in the city. And so I tried every other means, okay, to help these squirrels not eat me these pecans, but it doesn't work. And so, well, we shoot them. So I've been telling my son, all right, sit, listen, be quiet. All right, so we can hear, you know, the little thieves as they climb across. And you've got to listen. You've got to be quiet. You have to slow your heart rate in order to hear. You have to be silent. As Sherlock Holmes again said, we see, but we don't observe. I think it's possible again that you can hear something, but actually not be listening. Like if you ever tried to talk to someone who's on their phone or watching the football game, you walk up and you start the conversation. Uh-huh. Yeah, no problem. You're giving them some important information. Yeah, I got this. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, after the game. Yeah, or, well, let me shoot this text message real quick. My wife, obviously, is the one that gets the brunt end of my non-listening. It doesn't quite work. But here's what James is telling me and you do that. We should be swift. Swift means hurry up and listen. Have a quickness in the way that you lend your ear. We should be alert and waiting to hear, hanging on every word.
We are to be ready and willing to listen when people are talking. Now, this not only applies to people, but it also applies to God, by the way. This is an exhortation that tells you to be in a hurry to hear from others, but especially hear from God. So let me ask, are you listening to God? Have you been silent in your life to listen to the voice of God? One of the ways that God speaks is what Patrick was mentioning this morning through the Bible. Have you slowed down your life and quieted your day so that you could spend time to hear from God? That's what James is saying. Not only take time to listen from other people, but you should pause, be quiet, open your ears, close your mouth, and listen to God. You'll be amazed what you'll hear when you let God speak. And why do we need to be, well, told to be quick to listen? Here's the reason why you need to be instructed with this. Like, why is James saying this? It's because you're bad at it. Yeah, that's the reason why. What are some reasons why we are so bad at listening? I think here are a few reasons. One, the people that are very quick to speak and slow to listen, we all know them. You probably have somebody that their face pops up in your mind right now. One of the reasons why they're like that is because they think they know everything. I don't need to listen because I already know. Oh, yeah, I know this. I know it. Yeah, okay, I got that. I understand. Now let me say that. They think they're always right. They think they're in a rush, and so they just need to get it out. Or maybe they don't care. They don't care. They don't care about what you're saying. Or maybe even they're distracted. I already mentioned the game and the cell phone. What does it mean to be a good listener, though? How can me and you improve in this area? It's that you would be an active listener. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a young boy who was an active listener for God. His name was Samuel. Maybe you remember Samuel. He lived with Eli the priest back in Israel, back in the Old Testament. And Eli, he was the high priest. And so his job was to serve the Lord. He was in the temple. He was doing the work of the ministry. Samuel was a young boy. He was there in the temple. And well, around the age of 12, Samuel was sleeping. And in the middle of the night, Samuel heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And so Samuel gets up because he thinks that it's Eli calling out to him. And so he gets up and he gets out of bed and he walks over to Eli, wakes him up. He's like, hey, Eli, did you call me? Eli's like, no, man, I didn't call you. Get your butt back to bed. And so Samuel goes back to bed. And then again, Samuel hears the voice. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. So Samuel gets up and he thinks it's Eli again. But no, it's not Eli. Eli's like, would you stinking go back to bed? Then it happens again. He gets up, goes back to Eli. I'm sure Eli is just fed up, fit to be tied. I'm sure those of you that have toddlers, you know what this is like. So Eli finally, though, has a moment of realization, like, wait a second. Okay, if I'm not calling him, maybe God is calling him. And so this is what Eli tells Samuel to do. It says in 1 Samuel 3, it says, at that time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go back, lie down, and if he calls you again, say, okay, God, your servant is listening. So Samuel went, he laid back down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, and he called once again, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel, as a young boy, said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I like that. That's what James is telling you to do, that you would be open and active and ready to hear. What does it take to be an active listener? To be that type of Samuel is that you would be humble, attentive, and receptive. Let me say it again. Humble, that means that you would not think you know everything. Attentive, not distracted. And then receptive, actually taking in what you hear. So what do we need to do to listen better? We actually hear. We hear. You need a correct view of yourself. I think the number one killer to a listening ear is a prideful heart. We talked a little bit about this last week, by the way. You know, if you've ever tried to talk or discuss with somebody who's self-centered, you know, they're always wanting to talk about themselves. They turn the story to be about them. They wait for your mouth to stop moving before they can jump in, cut you off at the pass, and then tell you their story. These are not humble people, okay? These are not good listeners. You don't want to listen to them because they never listen to you. You know, there's a person even in my life that I have to like fight to get every word in. They talk so much on the phone that I can put the phone on mute, go mow the lawn, come back, and they're still talking. I'm like, man, this is just such a pain. Don't be that person. Okay, stop it. It's not good for you. It's not good for your relationships. And so maybe the Holy Spirit is showing you today, like, quit doing that. Be humble. Listen to people. Maybe God will actually speak to you and maybe you'll learn something. You should be also empathetic though, where you're ready to hear from other people. You know, empathetic means it's an ability to understand and share the feelings of others. People who care for others are often those that we want to go talk to. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You know, you should make an effort to understand when you're listening the conversation of the partner. You're treating, you know, your conversation partners as a person with value, not as an object. No matter how the conversation is, they're still important. Respect them. Pay serious attention to what they feel about what they're saying. Really being observant, trying to read the nonverbal behavior. Asking ourselves two questions. So when you're listening, you ask these two questions. What emotions do I believe the person is experiencing right now? And then the second question I ask myself when I'm listening, what are the cues that this person is giving me that I can help draw the right conclusion? I'm hearing what they say, but help me understand what they mean. And I'm praying that, God, help me understand what these people mean. And this is hard at times, well, because we like to fix, we like to jump in, we'd like to give our opinion, but we should be a little slow to do that. I think here's another way that you can be a quick listener is that you would be attentive. Be attentive. That you would listen with your eyes, not just with your ears. That's what my wife says. She's like, Jay, can you listen with your eyes? Which means, can I turn my phone off and actually look at her? And it's true. You listen with your eyes. People want to know that you're actually paying attention. You can't talk when someone's distracted. You know, my wife says that I never pay attention to her. Well, at least that's what I think she says. That was a joke, all right? That was another dad joke. So that's for you, Ricky. Pay attention means to be present in the moment, not even multitasking. But the last thing is being receptive, all right? So here's another way you can be a good listener. You're receptive. That you listen in order to learn. You believe that others have something to offer you. Maybe you're stuck in your place in life right now because you've not been receptive to the people who are trying to speak to you. I've had people in my life that I've tried to give them what I think to be some very practical, helpful, from God type truths, but they've not been receptive to receive it. I know you have those people in your life where they're just closed off. Well, maybe, just maybe, you've not been receptive to God. Maybe you've not been receptive to people. But today, I encourage you, if you want to be a good listener, be receptive to what people are saying. You know, it reminds me of this story. It was an unbeliever that went one day to see this really well-known preacher named George Whitefield. And he was not going to actually listen. He was actually going to critique. And so he went into this place and he's there. He's, you know, trying to get a good seat. Well, he sits down and there's a huge amount of people there. He can't really get the best seat in the house, but he's there and he's just watching this preacher. Well, the preacher says something that he doesn't like. And so he puts his fingers in his ears, which is kind of silly, but that's what he does. And so he's got his fingers in his ears and he's sitting there listening to this preacher, at least watching him with his motions. And a little persistent buggy fly ends up flying over and landing on his nose. And as he's like kind of moving about, you know, he's got his fingers in his ears. He can't get this fly off of his face. And so he takes the finger out of his ear and he swats at the fly. And just at that moment, the preacher that was preaching said this phrase. He quoted from Matthew 11:15. He said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And that caught the man's attention. He kept his finger out of his ear and he continued to listen. Like, this is interesting. Just at the right moment, I hear that. Then he started to hear what George Whitefield was saying about knowing God. He then spoke of the refusal that many people have to hear the Spirit's voice. George Whitfield said, there are people who have hardened themselves to the voice of God willingly. They've refused to hear what God would say. This unbeliever was so impressed by what happened that he not only listened that day, but he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He asked God to come into his life, and he himself became a preacher. Pretty amazing what happens when you decide to listen. Okay, so now we're flipping to the second point. Okay, then we'll end it out this morning. Point number two. Point one was that you should be what? You should be quick to listen. So you're opening your ears before you open your mouth. Slow to speak. The reason that we should be slow to speak is because, well, the Bible tells us, you look like an idiot when you keep running your mouth, acting like you've got things to say that people need to hear. That was the JTP translation. This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. It says it's better to stay silent, not open your mouth, and to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and to remove all doubt. Slow to speak. Now, the word slow here, so notice what James is doing. He's saying be very quick, swift to hear, and now slow. The word slow, it's a cool word in the Greek. It literally means to drag your feet. So it's your teenager not wanting to get out of bed, right? So you're just like, oh, taking your time, dragging your feet. Come on, we got to go. We're in a hurry. Get in the car. Come on, get dressed. And they're like, oh, I don't know. Just dragging your... That's the idea here that James is saying. You should be dragging your feet to open your mouth. Now, I've never had to take back something that I didn't say. And that's the beauty of dragging your feet when it's time to open your mouth. When you're slow to speak, it's amazing how many things you don't regret ever saying because you never spoke. You know, they have phrases for people, by the way, who speak too much. Here are some of the phrases we say. Well, he's going to talk your ear off. Be prepared. Or, you know, you should be a salesman. That's not a compliment. If you talk too much, you know, you will say too little. Or they say this, you know, he's a loud mouth or she's a big mouth. You've really got the gift of gab. It kind of reminds me of that story I read in a biography about this guy who was sentenced to be hung for his part in an unsuccessful uprising against a Russian czar in 1825. So the czar was a guy named Nicholas I. And so this dude, his name was like Kondratiev, I think is his name. And so he, you know, tried to just uprise and throw over the czar. Well, he was being hung and the rope broke mid-hanging. And this caused him to fall to the ground. He got all bruised and battered and beat up. And so he gets up and he takes the rope off his neck and he yells, in Russia, they don't even know how to make anything properly. Not even a rope, right? And so that's what this guy says out of his mouth. Well, there was a guy that was there writing down what was happening. And now an accident like this, you know, in Russia often would be a reason to let somebody go. And so they would say, hey, listen, we're going to pardon you because you didn't die. It's too much to put you through. Well, the guy that was there taking notes, he wrote down what this man said. And he was then called by the czar and the czar asked, what did the man say after, you know, the rope fell? And this is what he said. He said, you know, not even in Russia do they know how to make things, especially a rope. And so the czar said, well, let's prove him to be wrong on that. Let's make a rope that will not fail. And so he was hung again because he opened his stinking mouth, all right? Like he should just kept his mouth shut and he would have lived another day. The example of this in the Bible, by the way, is Peter, okay? Peter was known for just running his mouth and getting himself into trouble at so many different points in Jesus's ministry. Jesus rebuked Peter, okay, several times because Peter just kept on talking. I mean, I think of the one time where, you know, Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be killed, and 3 days later I'm going to rise again from the dead. It's there in Matthew 16. Well, Peter thinks he knows better than Jesus, and so he rebukes Jesus. He says, you know, far be it from us, Jesus, you know, like, it's not going to happen. He says, heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. So Peter rebukes Jesus, saying, no, 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 that's not going to happen, Jesus. And Jesus then says, get behind me, Satan. Like, he calls Peter Satan, all right? That's not, definitely not a compliment. So there's Peter, okay? Just, he's putting his foot in his mouth. He's got, you know, foot-to-mouth disease. That's what they say. And the second time I think about Peter putting his foot in his mouth is when he's talking and causing others to miss out on the moment where Jesus, three of his bros, are up on a big mountain. It's the Mount of Transfiguration there in Matthew 17. And it's an amazing scenery. Jesus gets transfigured right before their eyes. And in that moment, Moses and Elijah, like, full on spawn in, okay? They're there. And Peter, in the moment, ruins it by saying, Lord, Lord, it's so good that we are here. How about we make three tabernacles? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Well, Jesus didn't rebuke him this time. You know who did? The Bible says that a cloud came overhead and God, the Father, spoke and quieted Peter. He said, this is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. The disciples were terrified. They fall on their face and they went silent, including Peter. Okay, it's a big thing when God has to speak out of heaven to rebuke you. The third and final thing I think about Peter is when he tried to tell Jesus that he would be there and not bail out. It's Garden of Gethsemane and the guards show up. Peter has already promised, hey, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. It was there at the Last Supper. And Jesus says, no, man, listen, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. And Peter just again tells Jesus it's not going to happen. But what do we know in the story? Peter put his foot in his mouth, right? He made a promise he didn't keep. He denied Jesus three times. The reason why you talk so much, I think, like Peter, like that guy that got hung, is predominantly because of your insecurities. Because you feel like you need to be heard, someone needs to hear you, affirm you, that you feel like you're insecure because you feel like you need to be known, noticed, and so you're loud because inside you feel like you're not being heard. But I want to tell you, do you know what the solution to that is? Is to recognize that if God is listening to me and hears everything I say, that means I don't care if other people do or do not hear what I say. God is listening to you, friends. The attention and the affection and the approval that you long for is found in God. God loves you. God hears you. God spends time with you. When you have the attention of God, you don't need to struggle for the attention of man. When you have the affection of God, you don't need to strive to get the affection of people. When you have the approval of God, you don't have to fight for the approval of man. This is so freeing in your life, and this will quiet your mouth when you know God cares about me. God listens to my prayers. God knows everything going on in my life. I can talk to God and he's listening to every syllable. Matter of fact, the Bible says he even listens to your tears. Did you know that? He collects your tears in a bottle. Psalm 86, that he even reads the unspoken language of the tear. God is listening to you more than anybody else ever will or can. And that is so freeing to me and you. What it does is it frees you from the trap of having to be heard. And that's my exhortation to you today. I want to free you from having to be heard because God listens. God cares about you, and that is enough for me and you. The attention I draw to this text today is a simple one, okay? That you would open your ears before you open your mouth because God has been swift to listen to you and he's very slow to speak to you, which means that you need to be quick to listen and slow to speak with him. Again, back to Sherlock Holmes. He said, "We see, but we don't observe." And I think that is our problem. If only me and you would learn to listen more and talk less, it's amazing what we might discover. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for this time, your word. And I pray that you would help us really put this into practice. That again, we would be really, really fast and quick to listen and slow, dragging our feet to speak. Because I know, Lord, that you're listening to me. And so God, I thank you that you love me. You care about me. Lord, you see my pains, my worries, my anxieties, my thoughts, my opinions, and you care. And that's enough for me, God. That's enough. And so, Lord, I pray that would be put into practice in my life, that I would not have to fight to be heard because I know you hear. And that's a beautiful thing. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, James, as I've said, is the brother of Jesus. James came to a real faith in Jesus after Jesus died and resurrected. That's when he became a believer. The Bible actually even says that he was a doubter during the life of Jesus, which is shocking to me, but that was the reality. And so James wrote this book as an eyewitness in the house, and it's a very powerful book. And I think, you know, the disciples really loved James. They respected James. We know that even Jesus made a special post-resurrection appearance in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says he appeared to 500 people and to James. Okay, he went and found James. The word BC means before Christ. You know, our timetable is based on this. And AD is actually a Latin word, Anno Domini, which means the day of our Lord. And so like 0 AD, 1 AD, means after the day of our Lord, after Christ. And so our time as we know it is based on the birth of Christ, which is what Christmas is all about. And so the New Testament was written again during and after the life of Jesus, not before, but during and after. And that is the meaning there, Patrick. Mm-hmm.